Good afternoon, and thanks for the invitation, Kumar Bhai, and all the people who are on the planning committee. I don't know how many there are, but it's good again to be here in the Kumar's retreat. And these two things of focus and determination, or focus and willpower, is something that definitely, if I can keep it right and accurate, it's going to increase my inner power. What is inner power? The power of my mind, the power of my intellect, the power of my sanskaras. And when all those things are powerful together, then Baba is able to use that soul as a lighthouse to serve others. What is the power of the mind? The power of the mind is stability, peace. Have you ever heard when Baba says, make your mind incorporeal? I remember I used to hear this and I didn't quite understand it. But gradually, as I started to think about it, started to realize that yes, when I am able to be in control of my own thoughts, not anymore creating unnecessary thoughts, when I'm really able to hold that energy of the mind in its essence and just detach from the physical, from time, from everything, and incorporeal mind connecting to the incorporeal Father, and then that creates a line of transmission of energy, a line of very deep communication. And then the mind is empowered because it's free. Because also, only when I'm free from waste can I increase anything, whether it's focus, whether it's determination, whether it's the power of love or the power of peace, whatever. Only when I'm free. And so to have that practice of making my mind incorporeal will enable it to become strong and focused. When the mind is focused, then it's able to do what Baba has been saying for a long time, mansa seva, service of the mind, the service of silence. It is the power of concentration as the service of silence. I can sit, quickly come into concentration, focus very quickly, and then connecting with the Father, with Baba, and through that spreading those waves of peace and light and power. And you know what? Don't have to think while you're doing it. You don't have to think, now I have to send peace, now I have to send light, now I have to send it. No. I'm just very still, surrendered, feeling very complete, very full, and it's happening. When things are happening naturally, you don't have to think about it, do you? I don't have to think about being spiritual. I don't have to think about being focused. It's simply getting to the point of focus. That's where I have to think. And that certainly, yes, requires me to unload, to let go. Don't keep holding on to thoughts and feelings that drain my energy. The drainage of energy for a Brahman soul is actually it leads to a great lack of self-respect. You know, if I get, for example, distracted by anger, by lust, by wasteful thoughts about myself, How can I be focused on what Baba is telling me? How can I be focused spiritually on service? Focus is easy when there's a lot of love and a lot of interest. You never have to think about how to focus when you love something, do you? Or when you're very interested. It happens. And one thing in the Brahman life is that I need to make an effort which will no longer be effort. You know, because otherwise I have to do this and I have to do that and I have to practice this and I have to practice that and I have to practice the other. Yes, we do have to practice, but just let me practice the basic things. Let me, especially with my mind, come to that point where I am simply Om Shanti. Yes, this is a practice, but practice to be successful requires faith. I believe that my mind is perfectly peaceful. I believe it can be. Where there's that power of faith, then again, things will happen by themselves. I don't analyze and think too much about them. Faith is like you give space to drama and God to cooperate with you. And they do. So the power of the mind, yes. Very, very useful for Baba in service when there's a child that has a clean mind. You know, Baba sometimes does these drills, you know, during Murli, after Murli. And when I'm able to have such focus, the mind is refreshed. Empowered. Says they are refreshing thoughts. You know, the word positive thoughts has become very hackneyed. For those who are translating, hackneyed means it's been used a lot. Even Lokic people write books on positive thought. But I've never seen anywhere the words express refreshing thoughts. Says, our thoughts refresh the self. Our thoughts refresh others when there has been that accurate focus. And it doesn't take a long time. See, that minute's focus. I'm a soul, I'm with Baba. The drill, that exercise that Baba always encourages us to do, really is the basis. It's really the basis of empowering the self in everyday life. To be a real karma yogi, I need to practice this. But we don't start, do we? Or we start and then forget. And actually, more than forgetting, or maybe it's the reason why we forget, is I am distracted. Instead of being focused, I'm distracted by other sanskaras. I'm distracted by my own sanskaras. I'm distracted by the work. That my mind and then my intellect go in another direction. So I have to be very attentive and very determined to bring my mind and my intellect back into myself. The power of spirituality is to be able to sit inside myself. Can you sit inside? Usually we sit outside, you know. What others are doing, what others are saying, how they look at me, how they don't look at me, many different things. Our senses distract us. Relationships distract us. Which is the reason Baba says in every Murli for the last, how many years? 67 years? Every Murli must be saying, remember yourself as a soul, remember me. Remember yourself as a soul, remember me. Every day there is this direction for focus. Why? Because we become unfocused all the time. Why do we become unfocused? Because it's natural for the soul to express itself in different ways. In the golden and silver age, we don't say, I'm a soul, you're a soul. Of course we don't say, remember Baba, he's not there. So the natural expression of the soul is to do, to be involved, to interact. When the soul is pure, it's very fine, it's very good. But because there's now so much impurity, I mustn't allow my mind and intellect to be distracted. I must constantly move within myself. And the deeper I go, the better will be the focus. It is these two things, it's attention and depth, that will enable me to focus very, very successfully. Not because, you know, I have to focus successfully. What does it mean to focus successfully? I'm empowered, and this inward successful focus enables me then to come into quality speaking and quality action. Successful focus doesn't mean I remain focused, but also it means I start to flow as well. A seed is very focused, isn't it? I mean, it's just a seed, it's a point. Baba is also a point for so many centuries up there. But then he has to flow, he has to come into words, has to come into actions. Like the seed of a flower, it has to flow, it has to grow. It does its full cycle. And then returns to focus. It returns to being a seed again. And this is where we are at now, as actors in the drama. I'm returning back to my focus. I'm returning back to my original form, my original name, my original state, which is I, the soul, a point of light, an eternal point of purity. And it's sometimes difficult to do this because we have the sanskara of, you know, many different bodies, many different words, many different actions. So I just have to return back in. Baba doesn't expect us to be like that the whole day, but in the mornings and in the evenings and a little bit during the day. Why? Why this practice of focus? This practice of becoming more soul conscious and more soul conscious. Because it's going to make the self purer and therefore happier, but also that power is going to be and is very necessary for service, to shift the cycle from the Iron Age to the Golden Age, to create that non-violent culture. Because the Golden Age is really the true civilization. No violence of feelings, of thoughts, nothing like that. But, you know, how's it going to happen? Because when people hear this, they say, oh, this is a nice fairy tale, very nice. Then you live happily ever after, you know? Golden Age, everything's sweet and nice, but that age of truth happens when I become true inside. And in order to become true inside, I have to focus on the one who is eternally truth. And to be able to receive that truth into the self and to express that truth, it requires love. And actually it is love that opens the intellect and empowers the intellect. It's not just knowledge. There's knowledge. First there's knowledge. Then there's love. And then from that love there's understanding. And then that understanding becomes the basis of successful dharma. Because some people put a lot of knowledge into their intellect, and they know all the formulas. You know, after 1 year, you know, you get people that I find they can speak things I could never speak about. They're, you know, much more intelligent than I am, you know, I mean, they're really good. They're very clever, actually. You know, I'm impressed. Bob says, don't be, but, you know, get impressed with some of the young, you know, 2-3 years, very good. But what I realize gradually is that there's not that inner strength. The intellect has moved ahead, but because there's been no real inner sustenance, then there's no strength to face sanskaras and situations. Although they can give you all the points about tolerance and purity and how to be trusting, and they know many things. But at the point of practice, it's like they are illiterate. I mean, I've done that myself too, you know. I know things, but then when it comes to the real application, you know, half amnesia, you know, you half forget. And so it's very, very important how I use knowledge and what my focus in knowledge is. And I am determined, I have to be very determined to use it successfully. What does that mean? For example, you know, somebody gives me some really good food. So this is very good for you. You know, it's organic and it's fresh and eat it and it, very good. So I eat it, but I don't digest it. And then I keep eating more food. Very good. The food can be very good. Top quality. And I keep eating more and I keep eating more. But it's not being digested. And so when there's not digestion, then that food, which is good in itself, becomes a poison because the body cannot take it anymore. It cannot absorb it. And this happens with knowledge too. Because sometimes you'll say, you know, why after a few years, you know, this happens to Brahmins or that happens to Brahmins. There's no digestion. Basic things are said, you understand them within, you know, a few months. The basic things of what to become in Gyan. But what's going to open my intellect in order to digest, it is actually the power of love. The love for my aim, the love for Baba, the love of what he's trying to make me, and what also I want to make myself. And together with that love, which widens the intellect, it is humility. If there's anything that makes me lose focus and being successful spiritually, if there's anything that makes me lose that, it's arrogance. What is arrogance? It's attachment to my way of thinking. Very difficult to see this. Or my way of doing things. And with that then comes critical vision. And then my intellect starts to be filled simply with judgments and opinions. Lots of judgments about people and things. Lots of opinions. Usually in the direction I know better. Or sometimes in another direction, I don't know at all, which is also just as bad. Sometimes people who have inferiority complexes or feel inferior also, it's an attachment to their way of thinking, as well as the one who has lots of arrogance. So humility, very deep, that I let it go into my intellect. Again, it enables me to open my intellect and see the beauty of the resources that I have and that I am. Because true humility will always touch the foundation and open the foundation of self-respect, self-awareness. See, when a person has self-respect, they open easily. When a person doesn't have self-respect, when they're still dependent on the opinions of others or on their own old ideas about themselves, on old images, then they don't get new understandings. Because with humility also comes detachment. What's detachment? It means a respectful space. That's what detachment is. I create a space for things to happen. I let my, if for example, if I'm detached from myself, I let then my original sanskars to come out. I create a space. If I'm very attached to myself, then it's very little hope of my original sanskars emerging. So when I get attached to things, see what happens? It's like I suffocate them too. I hold on and I suffocate them at the same time. So to be free from this, detachment, respectful space. And then, yes, again, faith. Faith in the intellect, Baba has said, will bring victory. No, it is the power of faith that allows the soul to become very determined. Baba has given me a name. To fly and to rule. Huh? Confluence ages for flying, golden age rule. But actually, both these things are happening at this particular time. The more I rule myself, the more I'm able to fly. Baba has given me this aim. When I believe it, when I have faith in it, then I become very focused and determined. And it is a spiritual determination, not a lokic type determination. You know, if you have a lokic type determination, then I can be very self-centered and very stubborn. I have to win. I have to make it. Yes, okay, on one hand, but how am I winning? How am I making it? For a spiritual student of God, their winning means also that, you know, they share that. My success, I share it with others. And so that determination, that spiritual determination, when it comes from the having a very clear aim, is also very gentle, very flexible. I must have a very flexible determination that is able to adjust itself to difficult situations, to difficult people, without losing my focus. Because sometimes a person doesn't want to lose focus, wants to keep determined, but they become very rigid and very hard. They misunderstand Srimat, misunderstand Maryadas. And so they become external rules that actually limit and suffocate happiness or creativity. you know. So the soul starts to think with its wrong idea of determination or focus, I must do this, this has to be done. Yes, everything has to be done, but it's how I do it. So when I'm very determined, I have faith in my aim, when things are going sometimes very wrong, I don't then at that point think, how will I reach? How will I ever be able to do this? I just keep faith and have that thought, it is being done, it will be done. That's it. It is being done, it will be done. I don't know how, today. You know, when Maya clears up, then you know very clearly, but at times, Maya whispers in the ear, you know, oh, what? Really? You're going to become pure? How's that possible? After so many lives, when you've been with me, you know, I mean, it's just, you know, it's a high hope. Maya throws in other little things. Maya's speciality is to throw in the seeds of doubt and fear and worry. Maya is always doing that. Fear, worry and doubt. And the method she uses is, usually it is comparison with others. So it's good to know her. Good to know her tricks. Because once I know her tricks, I become focused and determined on the aim that Baba has given me. Otherwise, I'll be focused on Maya. And, you know, she's very determined. She's so determined that she'll think of every technique. You know, we have lots of techniques we learn in some of the, you know, all these courses we do, sometimes SML and all these, there's many techniques, good ones. But I always realize Maya has many techniques also. It's always very good to know how the other side works. Yeah? It's good, you have to be soul conscious, God conscious and Maya conscious. Yes. You know, if I don't understand something, then I can be deceived. And then when I'm deceived and I realize that later, I can get very disappointed in myself and I think, why didn't I see it earlier? But again, it depends on my level of humility and openness. That's why it's good to have, you know, spiritual gatherings, spiritual friends, because, you know, they help also. You know, I can't do it just alone. You know, I'm going to have my focus. I'm just going to be with Baba and I'm going to make it. On one hand, yes, I tread this path independently. It's true. But on the other hand, I do need the right company. Because why? Others give me perspective. It's like when you see the daddies here, and we often see daddy in Europe, you know, it's a very enormous help because you always realize these are the souls who have understood and conquered Maya. How? Deep focus and love for Baba. And the quality of loyalty to God. No matter what happens, no matter what difficulties, Baba has said this, doesn't matter that we don't know how it's going to be done, it will be done. Very strong determination from faith. So when we see this with souls who have made that effort, you know, then it gives us inspiration. Inspiration and responsibility. So the company of the family is a very useful thing. It's very healthy. So in order to have right, to have success through focus and determination, I need also to be family conscious. Be aware of the specialities of others, and how they're achieving their aim, and I can learn from that. You know, often I see other sources' specialities. Some souls that come and they're much younger in Gyan than I am, you know, but they're very good at something. They're very good at it. You know, I learn from that. And being able to see what's necessary for me at this particular time. But to enjoy it. Huh? I think we learn more when we enjoy what we are doing. We enjoy what we are becoming. Because if there's not a joy in learning, I don't see how I can keep determined. If there's not a faith in my aim, I can't keep determined, first of all, but also I can't keep good wishes for myself. Because one of the things that makes us successful is these good wishes for my own self. Yes, Baba gives us good wishes, seniors give us good wishes, but I also have to have good wishes for myself. And the way to do that is never over-focus. So there are some people who don't focus, but there are some people who over-focus. Because another quality that is needed in achievement of the spiritual goal is patience. Patience is, I work with the flow of the drama. I observe the drama. I don't try to control the drama. And again, patience is a bit like detachment. I give space for other possibilities. Because again, if I'm too determined in one direction, you know, maybe a possibility is coming in another way. And I'm not open to it. Because I'm over-focused in this way. Eh? But maybe it's coming from the other way. So therefore I have to have that flexibility. Patience is also that like Baba, you know, Baba's very patient with us, isn't he? I'm sure you must have experienced that. No matter how long I've been in Gyan, whether it's 6 months, 1 year, 20 years, 30 years, Baba's benevolence makes him very patient. And also, in that patience, there's a lot of confidence. He's confident that his children, his students, will make it. Patience doesn't mean I just let go and sit down and hope for the best. Yes, I'm very patient, but they're not, you know, to be patient means to move. Eh? To be patient doesn't mean I stand still. It's a movement, it's a going forward. But without trying to control the things. I'm more surrendered to drama. It's definitely more surrendered to Baba. And this is a big word also, I know. Surrender. We hear it a lot. But I feel also I can never have right focus until I'm really surrendered. What does that mean, surrendered? You know, English, in the English speaking world, it's not a popular word. But on this spiritual path, it's a very necessary word. I remember Daddy this morning, she was saying, I don't remember if it was this morning or yesterday, some meeting, she was saying that those who become Arjuna are those who realize that God is really teaching them. Arjuna is the one who accepts the challenge, she said today. Arjuna accepts the challenge. Which challenge? To conquer the self. To transform the self, and then he led others. Yeah. See, Arjuna couldn't lead the army until he had this conversation with God to understand who he was actually. although he was the commander, one of the commanders, although he had to lead the army, he totally forgot himself. Why? Because he had doubt about himself, he had fear, and he had worry. Although, and he had everything with him. He had the magic bow, you know, Gandiva, that's in myth, eh? Had this bow. You know, he trained every day more than his brothers. He was very good with the arrows. He knew it. But at the point to do it, he saw all his relatives, and he just started crying, actually. He was a warrior and he started crying. Maya can do anything, eh? Just like Baba can do anything, Maya can do anything. But what saved Arjuna and allowed him to be able to fulfill his destiny, his role, was his love and trust for God. He was able to listen. And he asked questions. He asked questions because he truly wanted to learn. He didn't ask questions from doubt or trying to get God to agree with him. You know, sometimes we ask questions because we want the person to agree with us. We've already made up our own mind, and we just want confirmations. But he didn't. He really wanted to understand who he was, first of all. You know, why did he have to do this? I'm better on my own. Why do I have to fight all these relatives? Why have to fight all these sanskaras? And then it is said that God told him who he was, and that for him the most important thing was the honor of his name. The honor of his destiny, of his identity. Like us, eh? We are all Arjunas, Baba says. The honor of your name, of who you are. You know, a spiritual child of God, a spiritual student. And the destiny and the identity. And so this is a very interesting scene of, you know, they represented in bhakti, but Daddy Janki's words today reminded me of that, of the quality of Arjuna, that he accepted the challenge to change himself, to conquer himself. And the thing that led him was not his talents. He had many talents. Not his experience and his expertise. He had the best expertise and the best experience from even all his other brothers. But what enabled him to rise and to go on was his deep love and trust in God, and then the commitment to others that came from that. Because one thing too is that as I'm listening to Baba, I wish to be worthy to be his instrument, to serve him, actually not serve him, but serve or do as he wishes the soul to do. Why do I wish to become pure? Why do I wish to become better? A love for him. And on the basis of that, then my heart will open for the service of the world. Because then then that commitment to help others move out of their sorrow, because it is in a bad state. Nature, the souls of the world are in a very extremely, extremely sorrowful condition, and they can't get themselves out. So many souls, they just can't hear knowledge. You know, you try to explain even to some people you know a little bit, even in a very roundabout way, they can't hear. There's no strength. So first, the instruments of the Father have to give strength to others to be able to open. And I can only do that if I'm really, really have, you know, Baba Sanskar of benevolence. And what does that mean? Benevolence means you keep trying, you keep doing, you keep giving, you don't measure. This one is a stone intellect, you know, I've tried 70 times. There's no measurement where there's real benevolence. Shiva. Shiva means the benevolent one, the benefactor. That's his name. So in how's he being benevolent? Through his patience, through his love for his Brahmin children, but also for the whole world. And he cleanses the Brahmin children, the ancestor soul, so that they have the strength to be able to serve his other children. Doesn't that give me a focus also? To do something for others as an instrument. But the instrument has to be very light. Very light and very clean. And just let the musician play his song. The Gita, you know, the Gita means song. And Baba says the confluence time is the time of the Gita. It is God's song of truth. And he, the great musician, will play it through his instruments. And each instrument will give a particular note, just like an orchestra. It won't all be the same, eh? It'll be a different note from you, a different note from you. But it's coming from the musician. Because different notes are needed. So people can understand. That's why the instruments are in different countries, in different bodies, different things. But the musician is one. So the Gita that sweetens and gives hope to the intellect and to the heart of others, that's being sung now, very incognito. But for example, in the Dandis it's not incognito, it's very cognito. And in us also, from time to time, it's very clear to others. Other times, the song switches off. Depends. But it's there, and it plays. Just I think is Baba encouraged it to be louder and louder and louder and louder, so everybody can hear clearly the message of truth, which is the message of love. And the message of love is, yes, the message of hope, you know, that souls will be able to leave their sorrow and go to their home, to the world of peace, and their inheritance. Wherever they may come in the cycle, they will have their inheritance of happiness to one degree or another. That is also a very good message to have. So, one's own focus and determination is not just for oneself, but it is also for the wider family. And Baba needs everyone, not just one type of soul, different souls with different characteristics, you know, in male bodies, female bodies, Chinese, Indians, Africans, everywhere. And that's the beauty. The beauty is the difference. So, but we're able to really do this practically and effectively if my focus is always every day, at some point, my focus is on the One. The One Father, the Eternal Father, and of course Brahma Baba, the Angelic Father. Double focus. And then my third eye opens very clearly. Well, he enables that to happen. So, Om Shanti, these are just a few thoughts and ideas on the topic of focus and determination. So, second. Yeah, so a quick question was, I was asked, in 27 years, what is something that I have looked back on that have really conquered or have managed? Pardon?
A sense of attainment.
Yes. Oh, quite a number of things. I don't know if I've shared this before. Some of you probably have heard it, but for me, the biggest attainment has been to be able to do things publicly. Because I always, before Gyan, very quiet and very private person. And it was a very big effort. Really a big effort, you know, like I remember at school or at university to be up front or to speak and do things. There was always this, it's body consciousness of course, huh? It's a fear of how others accept you or approve of you, right? So, remember that being very deep. And then coming into Gyan, and you know, when you're giving courses, it's easy. In those days, in England, it's just one person you gave the course to. So it was quite easy. Although, I remember I never did the whole course at that time either, but the faith that that God will help me to understand things and help me through things was the thing that helped me a lot for whatever attainment there was. But still, I remember it was a very big effort for many, many years to actually publicly speak, for example. And I would always find ways to avoid it. And I was just thinking, you know, why are you doing this? You know, like, you know some things, why don't you share them, you know? It wasn't just the first one or two years, it was quite a few years. And I remember when, in Madhuban, they started to ask me to, you know, how to give the course and how to give talk. I would just say, you know, why don't they ask somebody else like Charlie or Ken or somebody, you know, it'd be better. But then a part of me was also saying, you know, you mustn't think like this. You know, if you think like this, then, you know, you never yourself will grow and you'll just keep the things to yourself. And it wasn't because of selfishness, it was just mainly, it used to be a fear, I suppose. And then I remember in Switzerland, the very first time we organized a program, the sister there, she wasn't fully BK, she was a Lockheed friend who I'd told about BK teachings. She'd come to England, did a 3-day course and went back to Switzerland. And then while I was in Italy, I just went there. She was studying as a nurse. And I said, well, you know, maybe we can do a little bit of service. And I said, well, yeah, we can, you know, do a talk or something like this. And, you know, in those days, it was not so easy to collect people and do things. And, you know, we agreed and then she wrote a poster in German. And then while she went to study during the day, I wrote about 20 posters by hand in German because I didn't know German. So I had to sort of do it. And it was very bad. I mean, all the lines were crooked, everything like this. But then when she came back, she said, you know, you're going to have to do this. I said, why? Me? All by myself, the whole thing? She said, yes. It's because I'm not going to. I don't know how. I don't, you know, go. But, you know, I can't. I can't give this. She said, no, you have to. So I remember, because it was the next day, we went out and put out the posters and, you know, we put them in very bad places, like we put them around lamp posts, you know, so the poster went right around. You know, no one would ever be able to read it. And then the night came, I remember that whole day, you know, thinking, oh, I have to speak. And I was really hoping no one would come. Say, well, really deep thought. No one must come to this talk. No one must come to this talk. And actually we were there, it was 7:30 and it started. And nobody turned up. Nobody was there. And, the deepest happiness I had. Nobody. But then, her brother, who felt very sorry for us. He felt so sorry for us, he brought his friends. to come and listen. So there was not many people, about 7 or 8 people. It was sort of small, you know, in those days. So we had to learn. It was the first time for her to translate, the first time for me to speak. So I had to speak, and I told her, you know, do not ask me what I said. You just have to pay so much attention that you translate straight into German and you don't ask me what I said, you know? Otherwise, you know, it won't work. And that was the first big attainment, actually. And then after that, you know, other things. So on that level, but there are other levels as well. And, you know, it's too long to go into it all now, but... Yes? Did you hear?
Yeah. How he keeps his focus and attention during Murli class?
Yes, focus and attention in Murli class. Because you see, how I listen to Murli is very dependent on what I'm going to understand from it. And in turn, how I benefit from it. And the way that I listen to Murli, you know, very, it may sound very simple to you, but you know, always the intoxication, it is really God. It is really the Supreme Soul coming to meet me after thousands of years, and you know, I've got the opportunity. And I could feel myself, I've listened to scholars and sages and gurus for many lives, priests, priestesses. I remember, like, something in me could understand this, but now I've got the real thing. So I have to be able, I wish to pay full attention. And so the way I listen to Murli, or any of us listens to Murli, is recognizing who is really speaking it. Why are they, you know, what is being said? What is being said here? And also that the Murli requires me to have really a deeper understanding of what is just externally said. Now, Baba may say some phrases, but what's the depth of it? Because we always know there's a lot of depth in what is being said. So it's the level of appreciation for who's speaking, and then also the fact that it is through this raw material, because knowledge is raw material, that if I understand it properly, churn it properly, then I'm able to be, you know, a proper student. I'm able to fulfill my aim as a student, because it's like, you know, I'm going to be a doctor, but I never go to the lessons, or I don't understand properly the lessons, then I'm not going to succeed. And to be, and to listen to the Murli properly also, it's not just the fact I'm a student, I'm also a child. I'm enjoying my father speaking to me. It is, to keep the mind simple when listening, and to keep the heart very joyful, you know, like it's a wonderful beginning of the day, you know. I'm starting my day with God's words. It depends on the depth to which I feel this. Eh? That will enable me to take the benefit.
Yeah. Just hold on. I mean, Mirabai wants me to just announce this. All those of you who have come in the past.
Can you repeat it?
Okay, so the question is on faith.
Yeah.
And how much we need to have faith in Baba, and...
Whether the problems that come up, whether I meet those problems or how much I leave them. How much I analyze, yes. You know, for example, if there's a problem that is recurring again and again and again, I need to analyze it. Now you're saying, oh well, drama will take care of it, or it's a karmic account. If there's a recurring problem that is disturbing me, I should sit down with myself and think, why is this happening again? What is the pattern that is causing this? So, I deeply ask that question to myself. It's not that I have to become an analyst and go into the details of analysis of it. I have to deeply ask myself the question, what is this pattern and why has it come? And at one point I can analyze it a little bit, but the other way is also to keep with this question with a very, very faithful heart and very sincere, and I ask God, I ask Baba. And if I do that, definitely, you know, some answer is going to come, either through another person, either through Muli, in some way or another it's going to come. So that's one thing. And another thing is that usually problems, the reason for most problems is a lack of a particular virtue. Usually it's that.
Yeah.
And so, and it doesn't take long to see it. You know, like I get angry often. I'm lacking really good feelings. And anger, for example, is always to do with expectations, unfulfilled expectations. So some things I can see very quickly, and then I just focus, you know, no, hold on, I can't be like this. You know, gradually I start to change. So what virtue is needed? And not to be in love with the problem. Sometimes I'm attached to a problem. I'm attached to a pain. Yeah. And of course it will come to disturb me. On one hand I say I don't like it, I don't want it, but then it comes again, and it's because something in me may be intoxicated by something wrong. I do it, or I think it, and then it, in time, it comes out as a very strong problem. So people are very, for example, the intoxication of being attached to yourself, the intoxication of your own ideas. And therefore you press others, or you reject others, because they don't think the same way as you. You know, in time that's going to create a problem. And then I think, why do I have problems with this person over and over again? But how, what's my attitude towards them? How did I treat them? In everything there's a solution. Always.
Okay, so one last question, then we'll stop. Okay, just... Yeah, okay. So, okay, three questions, so we'll just pick that.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. Of the method for churning knowledge. Yes. Very basically, the method for... There are two ways of churning knowledge. The first is where I sit down and I study. The second is when there's the need for a particular dana during the day. You know, with a particular person or situation, there's a friction or there's anger, or there can be laziness or carelessness in something during the day, then the dana. The dana is a very strong stimulus for churning. That I want to harmonize with a particular person, I want to feel really peaceful, whatever it is, then the churning comes very deeply and quickly. There's the other churning where I just sit with God as His student, and I'm going over aspects of Muli, and I'm just giving time and attention to those words. Because I just want to understand them. Because, you know, if I don't understand correctly, I will not practice correctly. And then there are bad results, and then I think, well, it doesn't work. But it doesn't work because I have, a virtue may not work for me because I haven't understood it properly. Baba says, be sweet. Okay, I'm sweet. But after a while, the sweetness starts to not work for me. Maybe I misunderstood something. So that time in the morning that I sit with my teacher, I sit with my friend, I sit with my father, and I go deep into his treasures. It could only be 10, 15 minutes. It doesn't have to be a really long, it doesn't have to be hours. 15 minutes, 20 minutes. But usually we're too busy. We say that, I mean. We're not, but we say it. And so when I don't give time and attention to Baba's words, then it's very big danger of half understanding them. And then there's half understanding, so there's half practice. And I get disappointed with results.